Powerful, my friend. So I told you last week that was the last message in this series, and I forgot that I had one more stuck away for Valentine's Day week. And so I think this is the last one in this series. It's the last one I have prepared anyhow. I want us to think about Jesus, people, and love. Valentine's Day in a couple of days. We're going to have a Valentine's banquet in a few hours. Richard, you could not have sung a more appropriate song for this morning. So, I want to begin this message about Jesus, people, and love with this verse out of John chapter 6. And it says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whosoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Amen. Got that? I want you to think about that for a minute. I want you to let that sink in. "And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out." Jesus is talking to you here. When you come to Him, He will not turn you away. I don't know what that does to you, but that's one of the wow moments for me. When we come to Jesus Christ, there is no way He'll turn us away. And so as we think about Jesus, people, and love, we have to think about how Jesus is and how He desires us to be. And I think that begins with accepting others the way Jesus accepts me. Now, this is a big deal. Romans chapter 15, verse 7 says, "Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." So, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, if you have come to God and confessed your sin to Him and confessed your need of Jesus and your belief that Jesus is the risen Savior, that He died for our sins, your sins specifically, invited Him to take over your life and surrendered yourself to Him, then He's talking to us. He has accepted us. He has welcomed us. He has accepted us when we were sinners. Paul says that God commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what, guys? Died for us. He accepted us. I want you to listen to this. He accepted us even though He knew that in the future we would hurt Him over and over and over again with our rebellious hearts. And so many times I hear people say, "Well, I don't know. I don't want Him to hurt me again." He accepted us despite our immaturity and our selfishness. So why in heaven's name would Jesus accept us under those conditions? Truth is, you and I struggle accepting people under these conditions. We struggle accepting people under much better conditions than these. So why would he accept us under these conditions? The scripture says that when Jesus Christ accepted us and saved us, it brought glory to God the Father. Do you have your Bible open to where you started this morning? And all the Father gives me will come to me, and whosoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And then the Romans passage, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Jesus has accepted us for the Father's glory. That's why he did it. He did it to honor the Father, to glorify God, and to be obedient to the Father. When Jesus Christ accepted us while we were sinners, he did it to glorify the Father. When he accepted us, though he knew that we would hurt him because of our rebellious hearts, he did it for the glory of God the Father. When he accepted us, despite our immaturity and our selfishness, he did it for the glory of God the Father. What a powerful testimony of the love of God through Jesus Christ to you and me this morning. What a powerful testimony of the grace of God for you and me this morning. As we think about this, we could think about story after story in the Bible that stands out telling us about the stunning acceptance of Jesus Christ. Zacchaeus, y'all know the story of the little guy. Hated and despised tax collector. Had reason to be hated and despised. Jesus actually sat down and shared a meal with Zacchaeus. And I'm going to tell you, folks, a shared meal is an incredible testimony of acceptance. Because when you sat down next to somebody or across from somebody at a table to share a meal, you're doing life with them and you're accepting them. You don't believe it? Look around and see how you are when you go into a crowded place to sit down and eat. And sometimes you have to choose to sit with other people. Go over to the barbecue sometimes. You have to sit where somebody else is already sitting at the table. And you look around, you decide which ones you think you could choose to sit with. And which ones you don't want to sit down next to. Jesus sat down and shared a meal with Zacchaeus. Testimony of acceptance. Look at how Jesus saves the woman that was caught in adultery from stoning to death. How he intercedes on her behalf. Go back and look at how he would touch the lepers and the dead. You know, Jesus' contemporaries accused him of being too accepting of other people. Anybody ever accuse you of that? I said he was a friend tax collectors. They said he was a friend to prostitutes. Some of the most famous stories about Jesus and his acceptance, we can go find the prodigal son or the good Samaritan. Jesus wants us to accept others in the same way that he accepts us. And I think that we need to value others the way Jesus values you and me. You have enough value. We are worth enough that he gave his all for each one of us. Luke 12, 22 and following says, "And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" Now guys, this is an argument from the lesser to the greater. And the question is, if God cares for and provides for the lesser of creation, the birds, how much more does he care for and provide for the crowning glory of his creation, mankind? We see that. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them." The psalmist, speaking along this same vein, said, "I knew him. He knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb." He was a part of that whole process. God has made us, he has created us to be in relationship with Jesus Christ through faith and trust in him. There are a couple of things that make something valuable. The first of these things are determined to be valuable based on who made it. You walk into an art show, and there are prices on these pieces of art, whether they be paintings, whether they be sculpture, whatever it may be, there are prices on it. And if you are a fan of paintings, then you know various artists by name. And you know that this name on a painting, just the name on the painting, regardless of what the painting is about, that name on that painting is worth more than this name on this painting. Because of who did it, and their fame, and their notoriety, and how they've been accepted in that art world. The same thing with clothing. Clothing designed by this person sells for a heck of a lot more than clothing designed by this person. The same thing is true when we think about sporting events. It's not who made it, it's who's playing. If you're a football fan, and your team is playing, and you want to buy tickets to the game, most of us would go through the list and find the not so popular teams that are coming to town, because seats on the days that they come to town are not as expensive as seats on the days when the number 1, 2, and 3 teams come to town. And so if you're watching your pennies, you go when the less popular teams are in town. You know, God has created us in His image. I'm still trying to figure out all of what that means. But it's special and it is important. I might ask you, why does the Christian community, why are we opposed to abortion and euthanasia? Why is it that we have food pantries and clothes closets and other ministries, soup kitchens and homeless shelters and other things? The answer is because we value people, and we value people because God has created us and He values them too. So value is determined by who made it. Secondly, value, things are determined to be valued based on what someone will pay for it. You ever notice that? People put their house on the market. And someone may say that my home, my house is worth $1 million. It's not worth $1 million if all they can get for it is $400,000. It's only worth what somebody will pay for it. You go to the store, you find an item that you've been wanting and you've been thinking about buying and you've been waiting for it, and you go there and you pick it up and you look at it, you go all around it, you do this, you do that, you look at the price on it, and you will either pay the asking price or you will decide that it's not worth that much money and put it back on the shelf and walk away from it. Leave it sitting there. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, it says, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways, inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. We were ransomed. We were bought. We were worth the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm told that in ancient times, a slave could save up enough money, and at certain times of the year and maybe even certain years, they would have the opportunity, if they had enough money and everything was just right, they would have the opportunity to purchase their freedom. Well, for us, there's only one currency that could ransom sinners from a hopeless eternity of separation from God. To be set free. To avoid the rightly deserved punishment and the rightly deserved judgment on our sin, it would take the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God the Father. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit decided you and I were worth the price of the cross. That's what I say. Yay. I don't know what's the matter with the rest of you. Tell you what. I've got $10 here. Anybody want it? I'm going to give this $10 to somebody. Does anybody want it? Boy, howdy, not many of you did. Well, wait a minute. I'm going to give it away, but let me do this first. I'm going to crumple it all up. Now, does anybody want? Okay, I still see hands. Wait a minute. Now, does anybody want? Nadia, you and Trey, come here. I'm going to split it between you. Come on. If you want it, you better come get it, or I'm going to give it to somebody else. Ellen's in a hurry. There you go. There's your hat. Would you give this to Miss Nadia? There's yours. You got $5 a piece. Go sit down. Boy, that was the easiest $5 you ever got. But there's a lesson here. The lesson is, no matter what I did to those two $5 bills, y'all still wanted them. And you still wanted them because they did not decrease in value. Those two $5 bills didn't become $1. They didn't become 50 cents or a quarter or a penny. I crumpled it all up. I threw them on the floor. I walked on them, stepped on them, squished them around. They were still worth $5. We're like that, guys. We get dropped and crumpled and ground into the dirt because of decisions we make or circumstances in our lives. We even get to the place at times of feeling worthless. But what I want you to understand is, no matter what has happened, no matter what will ever happen, in God's eyes, you will never, ever, ever, ever lose your value. You'll still be worth what you were in the eyes of God the day you were born. You never lose that value. Dirty or clean, crumpled up or creased, Jesus values you, and he values me enough to die on a cross. As Jesus people, we need to value other people the way Jesus values us. Wonder what would happen if we, the people of God, would start valuing other people the way God does. How would you relate to that server in the restaurant if you valued him or her the way God does? How would you relate to that clerk in the store that you've been standing in a line for way too long to get your turn to give him or her your money? How would you relate to that person, even though they had spent too much time chit-chatting with somebody else? How would you relate to them if you valued them the way Jesus Christ values you? Or the way he values them? How would you pray for the teenager in trouble with the law if you valued that teenager the way Jesus values you? How would you pray for the lost person that lives next door or down the street that you see every day, if you valued them the way Jesus values you? I started, when I prepared this message, to leave a space for your verbal feedback with this next question, and I decided I wouldn't. But I want you to think about it. As if I was saying, Ellen, or Charles, or Dale, and expecting an answer. How would you do church differently if you valued the unchurch like Jesus does? By the way, I am open to feedback for that one-on-one. We are instructed to love like Jesus loves. Got that? John 20:21. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." Part of what Jesus was saying here is, as God has sent me to love, as God has sent me to accept, as God has sent me to value, I send you to love and accept and value others the same way. Wow. That carries a lot of punch, guys, when we hear what Jesus is saying. Now, one more time, as we wrap this up, I want to remind you how much God loves, how much God values, how much God accepts you. And there's no better place in all the scripture to find that than in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Wow. What a Valentine's Day verse. What a thought. A reality for us. A reality check for us. And continuing that reality check, I have to ask you some questions. And the first of those questions is this. It's real simple. If you were to die today, are you sure that you would spend eternity in heaven? And I want you to know, based on the authority of the Word of God, you can be sure of that. Amen. You don't have to leave out of here hoping you would, or wishing you could, or anything else. You can leave out of here knowing that you would spend eternal life with God. The second question is this. Do you know someone who, as far as you know about them, would likely not go to heaven if they were to die today? Do you know somebody like that? How much do you value them? How much do you love them? And you're not being asked to go to the cross for them. But you are being asked to introduce them to the Savior. Pray with me. Father, it's almost overwhelming to think about how much you love each one of us. It is mind-blowing to look back over the years of one's life and be reminded how you accepted me as one of your own. in spite of my sin, in spite of my rebellion, in spite of the disobedience that you would know, you knew would happen. God, would you break our hearts for others the way yours breaks for them? In Jesus' name.